welcome to the Water from the Rock podcast, where you get a fresh drink for life. As always, this is Tyler Robbins from Calvary Baptist Church, and with me, once again, as always, is Pastor Robbins.
Hello.
And then my assistant, Levi.
Hello.
So, we've been covering a lot of different topics, from how to start your morning right, how to understand your self-image and what you are in Christ, to prayer, and we've talked a lot about different things. If you'd ever like to have a question answered on the podcast, feel free to message us on Twitter or email us. I'll give you all that information at the end of the podcast here, but feel free to reach out to us in any way. I'd be glad to answer your question on air or just directly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's something that this is what the whole purpose of this thing is about, is to answer questions that
exactly.
You know, we deal with in life.
And yeah, we want to help people.
Yeah, absolutely. And questions, you know, you want to, we want people to understand the Lord in a greater way, because God is good, the Bible says. And
absolutely.
And so we want them to know Him as God wants to be known. You know, for example, if you have a neighbor that you really don't know much about, but what little bit you've known about them, maybe you didn't like or whatever, but then come to find out, once you get to know them, they could be your best friend for life. That's kind of how the Lord is, and so
absolutely.
That's why we do this. And by the way, last week we were talking about prayer, and
and
to be honest with you, I love studying about prayer. It's just one of my favorite things to study about.
It's one of the most important things in life. Yeah,
yeah. Acts of faith. I love studying on it, reading people's thoughts on it. You know, reading about people's prayer lives and stuff. But one of the books that I said that was one of the most influential in my life concerning prayer, there's a number of them, but one of them was that of, I couldn't remember the title of it, and I was thinking it was by Warren Wiersbe, but it wasn't. It's actually Pray in the Spirit by Arthur Wallace, and his last name is spelled W-A-L-L-I-S, and you can get it on like Kindle for around $8 or so off of Amazon, and you know, probably a paperback or hardback edition, probably not more than $10-$12 maybe or whatever.
Okay.
And so, to be honest with you, I would encourage anybody to read that book. He tears apart how they're in Romans 8, where he says that he ever liveth to make intercession, and he really, it's really about the work of the Holy Spirit in the ministry of prayer, and so it is a tremendous book, and one of my favorites, and it really revolutionized my life, and so along with some of the others we talked about last week. So, but anyway, and please anybody
yeah,
listening
absolutely.
Today, please give us a contact us, get in touch with us, and you got subjects that you want to know more about, particular questions you want answered, please contact us and let us know how we can help you.
Absolutely. And to be honest with you guys, anybody listening right now, we're going to do a sweepstakes giveaway here coming up in the next couple of weeks. We're actually getting Water for the Rock podcast mugs designed. We're going to give those out for free. All you have to do is just give us your name and where to ship them if you win. So if you just want to contact us with your name on Twitter or through email, feel free. And then, once again, if you do win, I'll message you back, and we'll be able to get your address, get it shipped out once again, 100% free. They're really good quality mugs. I got a prototype made, and it's a two-layer steel mug with a copper interior layer. It's vacuum-sealed. And I'll tell you the truth, it comes with a lid on. It's a 14-ounce mug. I'll tell you the truth, though. I've been using it at work to hold my coffee. And this mug, I put fresh coffee in it, fresh out of the pot, just freshly brewed, and that coffee is like boiling lava hot.
Stays warm, huh?
It does. And here's the thing is that coffee stays hot, but the mug is cold on the outside. It's the weirdest thing, but you know, it's a good mug. I hope you guys can win one. We'll be giving away a couple over time, but anyway, I hope that you'll give us your contact information. We'll be able to get those out to you.
I don't drink coffee, but I hope I'll win one.
You know, and they say that they're even better to keep things ice cold. I don't know why they said it keeps things same temperature for about 3 hours, and cold things is like 12.
Keep your soda cold. And
absolutely. Anyway, anyway, we've covered a lot of different topics on this podcast so far, but today we want to talk about a topic that's been really influential in today's media. If you watch any kind of scary movie, or if you go and read any kind of Christian book, or go to a Christian bookstore or something, you always see things about angels or about demons. So today we just kind of want to sit down and just kind of talk about why they're so important today. What does the Bible have to say about them? What's their purpose? Where'd they come from? And just kind of answer a bunch of general questions that you may or may not know, and then kind of help you understand what role they actually play in our life. So first off, Pastor, how about you define for us, what exactly is the difference between an angel and a demon?
Oh, sure. You know, there's a lot of debate out there today, and you run across, I mean, I've had people almost angry with me over debating on what is an actual angel versus maybe whether or not a cherubim's an angel and that kind of thing. And
really?
And, yeah, it's been... It's to me, it's not really worth splitting hairs over. However, though, there are many that really really have an issue with it. But and they'll say that, you know, like, for example, Satan was, the Bible calls him an anointed cherub. And there are some, and there's some guys who teach this. And Peter Ruckman's one of them. And that they'll teach that these guys aren't actually angels, and that they're not really that they were just simply cherubs, and those aren't angels. But most people, most Christian in the Christian world, have always kind of assumed that these created beings in heaven, whether they were cherubim or seraphim or any other particular type of creature, were really that of angelic. And that's the word angel literally means kind of a messenger, or, you know, created for to message. And so that's kind of where we get the term angels. Now, the Bible says the man, when he was created a little lower than the angels. However, though, when you get saved, the Bible says we sit in judgment of angels. And so we rule angels, or we'll rule over them. And so regardless of whether they're seraphim or cherubim, or they're actually just angelic creatures and just different types, you know, for example, some might say that, you know, you have a baseball team, but, you know, I play baseball, but at the same time, I'm the pitcher, or mm-hmm. I'm the catcher, you know, and there are some that's kind of what they believe about angels, and others believe that, you know, it's just a completely different entity all the way around, and it just kind of gets into division, and I agree that there are some verses out there, at least from what I've read, that would kind of lead you to maybe think that, you know, maybe these... It's a little bit different, but it's definitely not something definitive over, and certainly not worth anything to argue over. I think that there's a lot of pride issue with that. So.
Do you think that it's intentionally vague that we don't know that much about them?
Yeah, absolutely. That would make complete sense. And you know, here's the thing: is whenever people want to fight and debate over things that really, the Bible talks about how avoiding foolish questions that gender strife, and I think that's what these things do, is out of our pride. The Bible says only by pride cometh contention. And so I agree, I want things to be 100% right, but we can't make something say that it isn't, that it doesn't say. But at the same time, though, it doesn't mean we shouldn't have an open mind, but sometimes God leaves things just kind of a little, like you said, vague, and really not where that doesn't become the focus point. And
absolutely.
And then sometimes we're not careful, we spend more time focusing on the angels rather than the purpose. Now, demons, on the other hand, the word demon in the Bible doesn't really truly exist. It's, the Bible calls them devils.
Really?
And yes, and so our the Greek word kind of for devil is that of daemon. And
I was going to ask where it came from.
Yeah, and so that's kind of where that terminology is used from. And so with that in mind, most Bible scholars have long held that demons are simply just fallen angels, that whenever Satan fell, or Lucifer fell from heaven, that he drew, the Bible talks about there in Revelation, that the dragon drew a third of the stars with him. And again, the word angel means messenger, also means star or heavenly being. And so that's kind of why it's more of a plain term, the word angel. And that's where the bigger part of the debate comes from, is, you know, just kind of that of a created being there. But most of it believe that demons are simply fallen angels, and I think that's the most correct term. And so I think that's the way to, you know, identify them.
So what was the whole purpose for angels? Like, what was their role in the Bible?
Well, many of them different roles. You know, they some were to, like, for example, you see, like, with cherubim or seraphim, they had certain roles of praise and glory to God, and you see certain things that they would do. You see that Michael was kind of more the warring angel. The Bible talks about Michael being an archangel, and so then there again, is an archangel an angel, or are they, you know, something different? And
sure.
But it talks about him being an archangel, and of course he contends with Lucifer, and he says, you know, basically the Lord rebukes him, and then you see Gabriel, who was a messenger, and, you know, he was always used to deliver messages, and then you see Jesus even called the anointed angel,
yeah, absolutely,
and so but they had different roles that basically God had created them for purposes, and we would assume to praise God, to, you know, carry out his purposes and duties. Maybe the Bible talks about how we're given guardian angels when we're born, and they're simply kind of like family angels. So the chances are really good that, like, for example, my great-grandparents or great-great-grandparents, something like that, the guardian angels that were assigned to them, once they passed away, then maybe took me on whenever I was born, and so far, you know, with y'all as well. So that's kind of where that kind of comes from. And so we see different types of created beings for purposes to provide, to protect, to accomplish basically the Lord's plan, just like us here on the earth.
Okay.
So
where do you think that angels get their power?
Well, obviously God gives them their power, you know, and really it's that of the purpose that they were to do. But again, I think the power of God working in our life is really that according to faith. The Bible says in Matthew 9:29, according to your faith be it unto you. So, you know, if you have little faith, little power, little, you know, result, and greater the faith, the greater, you know, the things that come to you, and the greater the blessings or whatever it is that you're trying to see God do.
Sure. So I have a question, though. A lot of times, like, if you ever watch, like, any kind of scary movie or read a book by some kind of author that lives in Maine, I don't really want to get to naming names, but you read these books about people, and there's, like, these demons in there, and they're always, like, they have these weird powers and can infect people and can manipulate people, and they're scary. Where do demons get their power? Why are they so strong?
Well, they really don't have any power. The Bible says,
really?
All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And that was in Matthew 28. Jesus said that. So basically all power is given to him. So they technically have no power. I think it kind of reverts back like it was at the Garden of Eden. They have no power, but what they do have is the ability to deceive. And so the ability to deceive, we can give them our power, or we can give them
influence.
Yeah, and they can, you know, I think a lot of times people hear things that go boom in the night, and they see little flashes of light, and they automatically assume it's a devil or whatever, and it's probably just nothing, not really anything, but the devil will tell them, hey, that's a devil. You know,
so do you think that a lot of times people almost become kind of a hypochondriac when it comes to that kind of stuff?
Oh, very much so, very much so. I think so. And then I think the other way around, for those who do have our influence, because the last thing the devil wants you to do is think it's him whenever it is him. And then he wants you to think it's not him when it's him, and he wants you to think that it... vice versa. That,
so you get all confused and just worried and miserable wreck.
You think it is him and it isn't. You think it isn't whenever it is. And so I think a lot of times people are convinced it's not a devil when it probably is, and vice versa.
So do you think that a lot of people, going along with this hypochondriac kind of syndrome of people being worried about devils and stuff like that, do you think people give a lot of power away just by being nervous about it? Specifically about, like, being superstitious about pentagrams and different things like that?
Yes. The Bible says that we're not given a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Whenever you're scared, what happens? You start to lose your strength, both emotionally, mentally, and physically. And I said both, but, you know, obviously both emotionally and physically. And so the point where I remember as a younger guy on staff, and we were just renovating what was called the old Silver Spur Saloon. We had turned it into a church there in Fort Dodge. And I thought everybody was gone for the night. And I was walking down a hallway there. And, of course, you know, that was a bar just not more than a few months before. Then walking down there, and it's pretty freaky at night. And I walked by, and I thought I saw something. And I was like, no, there's nobody here. And I turned a corner, and there my pastor and his son was still there. And they scared the fire out of me. And it scared me so much that I about just fainted. I lost all my strength. And I'm so glad I didn't cuss, because it had been really bad being the youth pastor. And you cuss in front of the preacher and his son. And when you're the youth pastor, it's really a bad thing. But my strength left me. My pastor really grabbed me and kept me from falling to the ground. That's how scared I was. And I normally have never been like that. And so whenever you lose your strength, you lose your sound mind. You can't think. You've ever been scared, you know what it's like. You can't think. And you can't make the best sense. You can't make the best decisions. So then when that happens, now we're powerless and we're very easily manipulated, very easily deceived. And like I said, going back before, the Garden of Eden, in before time, there was Satan didn't have any power over Adam and Eve, but what he did have is he had deception, and that's how he got Adam and Eve to fall, is to you know, he lied to them and deceived, you know, first Eve, obviously, and Adam wasn't deceived, obviously, the Bible says, but Eve was deceived, and so that's what I think what had happened is today, Jesus said all power is given him in heaven and earth, so therefore Satan doesn't have any power. But he can deceive you, and so I think that's where it all comes from, and so I think that's what we have to understand.
So you've done a lot of counseling before, and you've kind of shared a little bit of stories about this kind of stuff and the way that demons can influence people and use people. But you say that one of the most powerful things that you can do whenever you're confronting a demon is to quote scripture.
Yeah, the word of God is quicker and powerful and more sharper than any two-edged sword. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's alive. It's powerful. And, you know, Jesus is the word. And so the best thing you can do to defend yourself is the Lord. And so, absolutely. I think, you know, when you're dealing with demonic entity, I think you know, scripture is, the Bible says, what's the sword of the Spirit? It's the word of God. Mm-hmm. And so what is the tool in the hand of the Holy Spirit that, you know, was able to pierce and divide and destroy? It's the sword in the hand of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And of course, that what's most important to that is your faith. You know, faith is your power. So,
well, if that's the weapon that we use to defeat demons and stuff, then why do they like to quote the Bible so much, especially in the Bible?
Well, it's just like a misuse. I mean, you know, if I handed you a gun and said, here, shoot it, but it was pointed at you and you had to, you know, you had it backwards, if you pull the trigger, you're going to shoot yourself.
That's true.
And I mean, you ever try to, you know, butter bread with the wrong side of a knife, you know, it's not very effective or whatever it may be. And you can think of a dozen analogies, but really in essence is this, is they just try to get you to misuse the word of God, just like they did with Jesus. They take him up and they said, listen, Satan takes him up on the high pinnacle there and says, you know, cast yourself down, for it's written that, you know, God will give his angels charge over thee, which is quoting Psalm 91. And so Jesus said, you know, don't tempt the Lord. You know, don't misuse the scripture. And so that's important to know. And back in, like you were talking about in counseling, the word is powerful. But the Bible says what makes us free is the truth. The truth will set you free.
Really?
And so that's the key. When you start to see the truth, then you find freedom.
So what if you know the truth but are having trouble believing it, that you're full of fear, you're full of worry, you're full of doubt, you're full of discouragement? What would you say should be the one thing, even if you know what's true, you're just having trouble believing it? What was something you'd say to somebody like that?
Well, really what that is, that's double-minded, okay? And a person who does that is double-minded. And the Bible says, of course, a double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. And so that person there would be the first one to tell you that they've had a lot of issue with stability. And at least in certain areas of their life or whatever. And so the word double-minded means to be two-souled. It means to really be like there's two entities or two, you know, creatures in the person. And they have two different emotional packages, two different thought lives, that kind of thing. And so they're driven by two different, you know, passions, two different purposes. And they serve
two masters.
Yeah, basically, absolutely. They serve two masters. That's probably the best way to sum it up. And, of course, as Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. And so that's very much the case. So they have to kind of come to a place where they determine which one they're going to follow, which one's going to be God, which one's going to be true. And then, of course, I always, you know, ask God for grace. And one thing Brother Suter taught me years ago in counseling is this. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me. And he said that, you know, of course, he's quoting on John 10. And if they hear his voice, they know him, they'll follow him. And one of the things he does is this, is he'll always have the person stop and bow their head. And so, all right, now we're at this point of kind of crisis in this crossroads in our lives. Let's just ask God to speak to your heart. God, the Holy Spirit, he makes it very clear that you can hear his voice and you follow him. And so through the Spirit of God, he'll speak to your heart. And usually at that particular point, Once you bound the enemy, once you kind of got in there, that person there will then all of a sudden really hear the voice of God. And it's every time you see that happen, when you see them really hear the voice of God, it becomes something that they never hardly ever doubt again.
That's true.
Every time I've ever been in counseling session where somebody actually hears the voice of God, I've never had to deal with that situation again with them.
That's true.
Once they've heard the voice, they're convinced of it forever.
As somebody who's been in that situation, I can attest to that being true. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We've only got a few minutes here left, but I do want to ask you one question here real quick, Dad. In the Bible, it talks about people, whenever they see, angels, and they bear witness of, say, Gabriel, a messenger angel, it says a lot of times that they fall down on their face. Mm-hmm. And in some situations, they even begin to worship them, almost out of fear. Why do you think that is?
Each particular person, I don't know. Each person's different, but if you see something angelic or whatever,
I know there's a lot of different options there.
Yeah. One of the things that you have to understand that I think a lot of people get deceived about is when you look at some of these angelic creatures in the Bible, like for example, cherubim or seraphim. They're kind of, to be honest with you, kind of scary-looking creatures.
Yeah.
However, though, Satan, on the other hand, he saw himself and thought he was beautiful. And sometimes what we make to be angelic or angels today are very beautiful, and what we make to be demons are very scary-looking. I've often wondered if it isn't vice versa, and what we think's a demon's an angel, and what we think's an angel's a demon.
Yeah, the Bible does say they can transform themselves into angels of light.
Exactly, and ministers of good, But I think a lot of times, you see something scary like that, you think it's the Lord, or you just fall down and you begin to worship God and whatever. It's certainly possible. I mean, you see John, even in the New Testament, the book of Revelation, was going to fall down and worship the angel, and it makes it very clear that no, don't do that.
So when someone dies, they say they see a light. Do you think that's anything that they actually see, or is it?
That is a incredibly hard, deep question to tackle.
How many times have you died to answer that question?
I know. I tell you, there have been a few people that have died and come back to life. Lazarus has been one of them. You ever stop and think about being Lazarus, what that had been like? Here he is having fried chicken and grilling steak with Moses and Abraham and Elijah, or not Elijah, but Elisha and these guys, and all of a sudden Lazarus come forth. It's like, oh, man, I got to leave, But then he's already got that dying stuff out of the way, so he's not scared anymore after that, But I do know this much, that whenever we die, our spirit goes out of us. And if you've ever lost your breath, one of the things that you'll often see is that everything will start, you start to see stars, and everything starts to get kind of fuzzy and cloudy. And oftentimes I've wondered if that isn't the light people are seeing. Because I don't think, unless you're saved, I don't think you're going to be ushered right away into the presence of God, when the Bible talks about just the opposite. So I think sometimes what people, as we see most of these cases, Christian alike, these people that supposedly died and then they record it and they tell you about it, not all of them so far, but many of them eventually recant that and say that they made it up, or they were just assuming, this book that took by storm this little boy that has supposedly died and came back to life.
Yeah.
And saw his brother and all these different things. And I'm telling you what, it took the Christian world by storm there for a little while, and come find out it was all a lie. And so I think a lot of times that stuff is. I know my good friend Brother Suter has always said that he thinks that the Bible talks about devils transform themselves to angels of light, and so he thinks that maybe sometimes that's, people slipping off into eternal damnation or whatever and into the presence of demonic, and certainly possible. And I didn't really do a very good job of describing how he believes a bit, but he does a good job of helping you understand that that's a possibility as well.
One thing's for sure, especially after you're sitting down and talking about all this, people take and put way too much focus on that kind of stuff and worship the creation more than the creator, it seems, even just trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that seems really clear is God made it directly vague because they wanted us to be able to make sure we don't, focus too much on that.
Right, absolutely. I mean, again, for example, being involved in the ministry, and I believe very much in strongholds in a person's life and demonic influence in a person's life, and the reason why they're so bound up and they can't seem to get anywhere, which, maybe next week we could probably look at that. But with that, At the same time, though, you gotta be careful. You don't get caught up in dealing with demonic, you know, or dealing with all demonic things in your life. You know, when the focus should be that of the Lord Jesus, and sure. So you can kind of get caught off, or get off the beaten path, so to speak, and deal with the wrong things, or be more focused on the wrong things, and so I think that's something you gotta be very guarded against.
Sure, absolutely, I completely agree with you. Real quick here, we've got time for one more short question, so sure. I'm gonna ask you the question. What do you think the role is of God in the entire universe? No, I'm just joking. You know, Levi, I think you had one more question. Let's go ahead and ask the last question today.
So, in the Bible, it says that man is ranked higher than angels. Why do people fall into traps of maybe thinking that angels are more powerful than them?
Well, the Bible says man was made a little lower than the angels, and so therefore angels were above man. However, though, once you get saved, I think it's over in Hebrews, it talks about that, that we'll judge angels. And I'd have to look at the scripture to be honest with you, but the Bible talks about how we'll judge angels. And then, you know, we'll rule over them as well and that kind of thing. And so, again, though, angels were created beings probably for acts of service for the glory of God, whereas God had breathed life into man. And so, you know, is there something different there? Again, the scripture is pretty vague about that. But obviously, God's prized possession, of course, is his son, but it was to redeem man. The whole reason why Jesus came to this earth was to seek and save that which is lost. And the way he did that, according to 1 John, was to destroy the works of the devil. And so these fallen angels are the works of Satan. Therefore people can kind of get focused on these things and making angels like these, you know, special connections between them and God. The only special connection you have between you and God is never going to be an angel. It's Jesus.
Absolutely.
And that's what you have to remember. But we get kind of caught up in that. Oh, it could be this saint or it's this person. No, the special connection between you and God is the Lord Jesus. Not a saint, not an angel, not a somebody making an intercession for you. Though, thank God for all those people that might do that.
Yeah.
But it's the special connection between you and God is through the Lord Jesus and through his shed blood and your faith in that.
As I say, I mean, the Bible says that we're covered by the shed blood of Jesus, not the shed blood of some angel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's Jesus that makes intercession, not an angel that for us, you know.
Absolutely.
Though other things and other people do intercede for us, but it's his intercession. So.
We're out of time today. Thank you so much for coming in again today, Pastor.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
And thanks, Levi, for coming in.
No problem.
I know it's it can be kind of difficult sometimes working with schedules here. Anyway, so once again, I want to remind you guys, feel free to enter free sweepstakes. Just message me on Twitter. You can direct message me. My Twitter account is at Tyler Robbins. That's TylerRobbinz. Feel free to message me. Once again, we're going to be giving away a free Water from the Rock podcast mug. Probably be giving away a couple of them here in the near future, but if you want to be the very first person to win one, feel free to message us. We're going to give one out here in the next couple weeks, once again, completely free. If you have any questions you'd like answered, feel free to message us as well through my Twitter account. Otherwise, you can email us directly at fundamentalbaptist@yahoo.com. Once again, you can also message us through our website, bytheblood.org, where you can go and get tons of free different free messages to download. There's tons of them there. I think we're up over 150 now. We have a blog going on there, tons of free stuff that you can take part of. Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, you can also reach out to us through our phone number. Our phone number is 641-228-5362. You can send us messages via snail mail if you want to. Just write us a letter, 703 Milwaukee Street, Charles City, Iowa, 50616. Once again, feel free to message us at any time. If you have any questions, if you want some help, if you just want to share a testimony, or if you want to enter for the sweepstakes. There's no limit on how many times you can enter. Feel free to enter your name as many times as you want. I don't mind. Once again, this is Tyler Robbins reminding you, the Lord loves you. Have a great day.